First, the plants, as we know them, were created, and they were the first inhabitants of this land. But that wasn't a satisfactory existence to the ideals of the one who created everything. And the one who created everything then created what we know today as the birds and the animals and the other non-human forms of life. And with these, he gave the uniforms that they wear to this day that identify them. He gave a number of them, particularly the bird people, the songs that they sing to identify who they are. He gave them territories in which to live. And he gave them the ability to exchange things from one territory to another so that people in those days that we call animals would have a means of exchanging to make a living, an economic system of economics. He gave them a place to live that was void of disease, that was void of belittlement. It was the Bible equivalent of the Garden of Eden, where everything that was necessary to survive was simply there. And all they had to do was honor what the Creator had given them. They were to honor the teachings that were given to them by the plant people who were the first to exist. And they were admonished to live their life in such a manner that the stories of their life would be teachings for those who would come in the future. And if they did this, there would be life eternal. There would be everything everyone wanted. There would be no want in the world. Everything in balance. But the animals were the predecessors of what we call human nature. They possessed what we know today is human behavioral characteristics. And even today, we identify the character of one another through the description of various animalistic behavior patterns. So strong was that ingrained in that time. Now all they had to do is pay attention to the teachings of the plants and the trees. And these were powerful teachings. And they were given without a spoken word. They were the strongest teachings that can be given because they had no words. Today we call it teaching by example. A picture is worth a thousand words, is the way we would make an analogy of this type of teaching. They were given laws. One of them concerned fidelity. One of them concerned generosity. One of them concerned respect. Today we call these by English terms greed, lust, hate, and jealousy. That's the best English equivalent we can call our form of the Ten Commandments, which were four commandments. Each of these commandments were considered the seeds of destruction, because once we let those natures of those four words, they were considered powerful words, greed, hate, lust, and jealousy. Once one of them sprouted, it would promote the sprouting of another one, which promoted the sprouting of another one, which promoted the sprouting of the last one. And how we sprouted them was by behaving in a way that emulated them. And that would cause the destruction of the world as we know it. It would cause nation to war against nation. It would cause family to fight against family. It would cause imbalance. Well, as the animal people populated the face of the earth, as they wore the colors that identified them, the patterns, the fur, the hair, as they sang the songs that identified their nations, then a concept began to emerge. And this is part of the facet of the seed of destruction we call jealousy. And this word, this facet, this rootlet of that seed is called covet. To desire something that belongs to another. And this first began with territories. Those that lived in the valleys would think, why should those that live up in the high mountains have all these beautiful streams, have these beautiful glaciers, have this commanding view of the world around them from high up? And those that lived in the highlands would covet the beauty of the valleys below, the lush grazing land, the vibrant meadows, the flowing streams. And why shouldn't they of the highlands have the right to trespass on that territory? And those from the prairies began to covet those from the valleys, began to covet the possessions of those from the highlands and those from the shorelines. And a thing began to sprout out of the seed called jealousy, a fragment, a rootlet that we can make an analogy called envy. Slowly these seeds of destruction begin to crack open, sending out their little rootlets, establishing a hold on the people and on the land. And little by little, they infringed upon each other's territory. Why shouldn't we spend a little bit of time, we'll just go across the border? One by one, they did that to each other. And the seed of hatred began to crack, and a little rootlet came out named anger. But yet nothing was done except for the development of hard feelings. Nothing was voiced. Maybe it'll stop. Each of them feeling wronged when somebody trespassed on their territory, but feeling all right when they trespassed on somebody else's territory. We get into a little concept called justification. Well, they came on our land, we'll go on their land. And a little deeper into each territory they wandered, and a little blacker came the feeling of anger, darkening the skies above their territories. And they began to look with envy on the way that each other dressed. Some of them wearing beautiful uniforms of blue, some having striking uniforms of red, black, and white, some of them iridescent copper, some of them having luxurious fur, powerful-looking antlers, fangs, claws. And little by little, they begin to try to emulate the looks of the others. They forgot about the gift of their own identity and who they were. And they wanted to be like the others. And a little farther, this seed of envy began to grow out of the seed of jealousy, connecting with this rootlets of anger, until they blatantly begin to imitate the dress and the uniform of people who they did not belong to, along with trespassing on their territories. Then the seed of fidelity began to crack and sprout. The seed of destruction that we call lust. And no longer were they satisfied with the mates that they were given in life. They would see one in another territory that was brightly dressed with a beautiful song that was so different from their own, and they strived to have that. And the seed of greed began to sprout. They wanted the wives of other men. And the laws of fidelity, little by little, began to be broken. And the seed of hatred began to swell and sprout, because anger, resentment, and jealousy became powerful feelings amongst the people. They began to grow and grow, until jealousy sprouted. Jealousy grew bigger and bigger. Greed grew bigger and bigger. Hatred grew bigger and bigger, from seedlings into saplings into trees, coloring the land with the emotions that those words emulate. Anger. Now came the word retribution. And a man killed another man for for coveting his wife. And another man killed that man for killing his son. And another man killed that man for killing his relative. And another tribe attacked that tribe because that man belonged to that tribe. And the thing called war, murder, and killing stuck its head above the land. They forgot to be thankful for everything they needed was given to them, but it wasn't enough. Now, revenge. Tribe fought tribe, bird clans fought bird clans, animal clans fought animal clans. And the humans, they were just infants of the time. They didn't have claws. They didn't have teeth. They didn't have fangs. They didn't have feathers. They didn't have furs. And most importantly, they didn't have songs. They had nothing. They were defenseless, more or less looked upon as little maggots in the scheme of things. They had no power, and they were at the mercy of the animals and birds who had more power than them. Little by little, the tribes of the beings of those times eradicated whole other tribes until no one was left. War spread throughout the face of the world as we knew it then. Chaos. People wanting each other's land and country. People wanting each other's songs and ceremonies. People wanting everything that everybody else had, forgetting to take care of what was given to them in the beginning of time. And the Creator took away the food, took away the pure water, took away the good weather, because he was angered at how his children had broken all the laws he had given them. And the thing became darkened and gloomy, spreading across the land, called cannibalism. Food became so scarce that the people at that time preyed on the weak ones of the other nations for the purpose of eating them. Parents began to look at their children as potential food. Children began to look at the aged ones among them is potential food. The word we call trust disappeared. It didn't live on the land anymore. Everyone was a potential enemy, a mother, a father, a child, a cousin. It was a world not worth living in. And yet there were a few who were old enough to remember how life was when the earth was created. By this time, the chaos had spread across the entire face of the world as it was known then. Some nations had become completely extinct. But there were still a few elders, as I had said, that remembered when the world was in balance and things were as they were supposed to be. And they counseled the young of their kind about how the world was. Because by this time, the young people had no memory of how their people had once lived. It was never talked about, related. All they heard was about war, revenge, retribution, jealousy, getting even, killing one another. When they heard their elders talk about a different time in our history, when we had everything we needed. And they began to wish it was that way again. They began to wish that they could sleep rested without worrying of someone killing them in their sleep. All the people began to talk amongst themselves, saying, I wished it could be this way again. And this talk and this remembering spread across the face of the world as all the old people remembered for the young ones. And the young ones listened to what the old people remembered. They decided, nation after nation, family after family, tribe after tribe, to call a truce. And they would go to this high mountain and call upon the Creator to end this time of turmoil, to bring mercy upon them, to give them the chance to experience life as it once was before, a life they never experienced and had only heard about. From the smallest insect to the largest animal, one by one, in groups, by villages, they traveled towards the mountain and up the sides of the mountain to talk to the Creator. And when they arrived, they represented everyone that was left at that time in the world. And the Creator, answering their call, said, what is it you want? I have given you everything from the beginning of your time. You had everything you needed to survive in this world. You had your own land. You had your own identity. You had your own songs. You had your own teaching. Now what do you want? And the young one spoke and said, we're tired of killing each other. We're tired of fearing for our own life. We're tired of defending our land every waking moment of our life. We're tired of worrying whether our own grandparents will kill and eat us, or our own brother and sister will kill and eat us. We're tired of the world as it is today. And the Creator again reminded them, in the beginning he had given them everything they needed to survive. And that everything, that was their cultural identity, their family songs, their ceremonial uniforms, and their own territories. He told them, look in all four directions. And from the top of the mountain where they all stood, everyone there turned and looked in the four directions. There were dying forests, rotting logs, eroding prairies, dried up riverbeds, withering bushes. There were bones of all kinds of animals and birds, now extinct from the face of the earth. And there were a dwindling amount of people on the mountain. He instructed some of them to go out on the prairie and gather some bones from there. He instructed others to go down the face of the mountain and gather some of the bones of the tree people that had once stood there. And they came back with these sticks and these bones. He said, as what is you came? You came to me for my help. You wanted me to choose which of you would have the right to eat the others. That is the right I'm going to give you. Who will eat who from now until the end of time? He said, with these bones and these sticks, I shall create a game that is to replace war. It'll be a bloodless war that your people can compete against one another with. But in the first game that will be played, it will be decided who shall eat who until the end of time. And immediately all the birds and the animals joined up to compete. They had all the weapons, the claws, the fangs, the beaks, the talons, and the most important weapon of all, the song. All that was left on the other side were these naked, pitiful creatures called humans. Naked under the sky that they were born, where they were born. No fur, no claws, no fangs, no talons, no feathers, but most terrible of all, no songs. The Creator said, now I will give you the rules of how this game will be played. He took four bones. And he says, from these four bones, I will create two pairs. And within these two pairs will be one man and one woman, one man and one woman. There will be four ways to conceal these two pairs. But the object of this game is to find the position where the woman is hid. For it is through the woman alone that future life is created and sustained. It is only the woman who can guarantee the perpetuation of our future generations. And it is the woman that you will try to find in this game. There will be four ways to point, and we'll use the English term. One is the outside. And if the women are concealed so that the Sladai are the women, on one pair is to the left, and on the other pair is to the right, then that will be called outside. But if one woman is to the right of the pointer, both women are positioned to the right of the pointer, that will be called upriver. Are both women bones to the left of the pointer, that will be called downriver. If the women are concealed between the positions of the two hiders, it will be called the diver duck, or down the middle. Those are the four positions that these can be hidden in. In the old days, there were 21 counter sticks. Chatz was the old word for counter stick. Chatz. There were 21 then. 10 for each side and one odd one, who was considered the war chief. Today it's called the kick stick. That one extra stick gave the winning side the advantage of one extra stick. The object was for one side to get all of the sticks and the game would be won. And the prize of this game was that the loser would be food for the winner until the end of time. Right off from the start, the animals won the kick stick. They got the one stick advantage. And the bird people begin to sing, and the furred people begin to dance their power as they hid the bones. And the humans being the only ones on the other side had no power. They pointed and lost two sticks. The animals closed in a little closer to them. They pointed and lost two more sticks. And the animals closed ranks upon them, getting closer and closer to these naked, defenseless human beings. It got to the point where there was only three sticks left, two sticks left. And the bear people began to stand up and they would point and say, that tribe of humans is going to be our food till the end of time. The wolf people would stand up and they'd point at the human beings and say, that tribe of people, they will be our food till the end of time. The mountain lion people would get up and point to a tribe of people and they would say, that tribe will be our food till the end of time. The salmon people would get up and point and they would say, those humans there will be our food till the end of time. Now there was only one stick left on the human side. And there was all these animals looming, standing above them, looking down, pointing at them, claiming them for their food till the end of time. There they were. No beaks, no talons, no claws, no fur, no feathers, and worst of all, no song. In the great fear that they had, they huddled together and they called to the Creator, have mercy upon us, and we will keep the commandments you have given us. We'll honor the first salmon until the end of time. We'll honor the huckleberries until the end of time. We will honor the teachings of the cedar tree until the end of time. If only you give us some help, we will keep our identity as a people alive until the end of time. We will remember who we are, where we came from, the land that you put us upon, and we'll keep all the vows that you give us at the beginning of time. In a moment of mercy, the Creator bestowed them the right to sing the songs of the animals. And as they begin to sing the songs of the animals back to them, the animals begin to miss in their pointing, and they withdrew a little farther back from the humans, until the animals were down to their last stick. They kept withdrawing a little farther from the humans. But now it was the humans who stood, and those who lived in the mountains said, as they pointed at the mountain goats and the elks, "You will be our food till the end of time." Those that lived along the rivers pointed to the salmon and said, "You will be our food until the end of time." Those that lived on the prairies pointed to the roots and to the berries and said, "You will be our food until the end of time." And in their last attempt to regain the game, the animals pointed, but they missed. As they threw the last stick across, they fled. The mountain goats into the higher parts of the mountain, the elk into the upper hills, the deers into the forest, the salmon people dove into the rivers, the moles crawled underground, the birds flew off into the trees, some of them into the salt water. All the animals fled to the places where they dwell to this day. And the humans that chose them today use them as food and honor them. And from that time on, we, as the Otsiel Talbi, have the right to seek the guardian spirit songs of the animal people for our own spirit. In the beginning of the game of Slahal, gave us the right to use the plants and the animals as our food. But we must remember our vow to keep our identity alive, to honor who we are, to honor the foods that were given to us from the beginning of that time, the roots, the berries, the salmon, the four-leggeds. The feasts to honor those were to be kept until time ends. And time will go on and not end until we forget our identity, till our language is lost, until our songs are lost, until we don't take care of the animals of this earth and use them wastefully, for they were given to us as food until the end of time. And we gave the commitment as the native people of this land to keep our cultural identity intact. Because when we lose that, time for us will no longer exist. And even though we might live in this land and breathe and move, we will be nobody. Adhoy.